Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah, dude.
We're bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Still a lot of great stuff to talk about in the offseason.
There's always good stuff to talk about. That's the beauty of being a Clippers fan.
It's, you know what?
Damn, I am positive today.
I'm loving that. we're going to kick things off today with our final postseason grade for the starters,
yep.
Which is going to be Patrick Beverley. If you've missed those other ones so far, go ahead and check those out. We've done these, you know, for Paul George, Kawhi, Zoo, Morris, so go ahead, check them out. Yeah. You know, no, I'd like to see what other people think. If we're on the same page, maybe other people are seeing something we're not.
Some people are seeing a lot more negativity towards Paul George, but I think they kind of forgot to maybe watch all of the Denver series.
That's fair. And then in segment two, we've kind of been talking about free agency a little bit this week. Obviously, not really a whole lot of moves out there for the Clippers to make.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, one of the biggest contracts facing the organization right now is what exactly to do with Montrezl Harrell. So we're going to talk about that. And then in shavings, there's just a whole lot of
whole
stuff.
Bunch of shit.
We got some Ralph Lawler stuff that needs to make a comeback. We've got to talk about the media team. There's also a former coaching staff member who is up for a job.
Yeah, which seems like he's probably just going to get it, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into all that and more right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so this is a bit of a interesting one to look at. Patrick Beverley's bubble postseason grade.
Yeah, his rockauto.com podcast.
Yes, today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection. Check it out, rockauto.com. We only had him for 8 of the 13 games in the playoffs.
Yes.
Which was pretty obvious when things were not going well. Like,
yes,
it's very evident when we had to have Reggie Jackson starting. He averaged 6 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, and 20 minutes a game. He was on a restriction for most of the time he was back.
Mm-hmm.
His regular season averages for comparison were 8, 5, and 3.
Gotcha.
So basically just kind of fell by one in each category.
Yeah.
One made bucket, that type thing. Shot 51% from the field, 36% from three, 50% from the line, but he only averaged, like, I think, 1 free throw a game. Averaged 4 fouls a game.
More fouls than assists. Great for a starting point guard. Something you love to see.
Definitely good. But ended with a plus 0.9 rating, so that's a positive. Had a double tech game, fouled out of another game, and his second game back had 5 fouls very quickly. This was a brutal pro season for Bev.
It was.
It was rough.
It was very rough. And, I mean, look, I love Pat Bev the dude. I am at many times a fan of Pat Bev the player.
I'm definitely, yeah.
It kills me to do this. This to me is an F.
I gotta give him an incomplete.
This to me is a failed postseason grade.
Damn.
I think that obviously, you know, there were other factors at play. He had a very significant loss in his family, had to leave the bubble, you know, due to a shooting, which who knows how heavy that was weighing on his mind. And then, you know, the calf, I always want to say ankle, but it's a calf, was a re-aggravated issue, injury, and he was still...
Never looked right.
Yeah, he never looked right. I think he was still struggling with that. But yeah, for me, he just didn't really deliver, in my eyes, on any of the fronts that we need him to be on this team.
The fouls were honestly the biggest issue for me. I still got to give him... I don't know if I can give him an F. It wasn't a good postseason, obviously, but I got to give him an incomplete.
That's fair. But an incomplete where I went to school is an F.
Well, yeah, this is a nice incomplete where I'm like, hey, we got an incomplete, but, you know, it's cool. I understand why you got an incomplete.
That's fair. I mean, I guess I can ride for the incomplete. And like I said...
But
like,
also, I mean, F kind of makes sense. Because, like, and we talked about this. We were texting with Brian Cullen about this. Pat Bev, you know, supposedly only other player, as Doc said, than Rajon Rondo to get the playbook and all that stuff. But still only averaging 4 assists.
And it's not just even the number.
And 5 in the regular season. So, like, that's not...
It's not enough. And, you know, he was injured in the regular season as well. So hopefully we can get a fully healthy Pat, you know.
I think we will.
He was thrust into a larger role this season.
Yeah.
As you will be when you get a step up in a contract.
And when you make a step as a player. He looked the for the better part of the season, totally ready to absorb this role.
I agree. And yeah. I mean, if this is a season grade, obviously much better.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean,
well, hey, iconic... we need content for the offseason, so we're going to do season grades later.
Yeah. I mean, the iconic Christmas Day block is something that, like, as a Clippers
yeah,
fan,
that's
I'll
an
never,
A right there.
I'll never forget. Yeah. But in the postseason, it didn't really bring it. And it's, to me, it goes beyond just, like, the lack of assists. Like, he just never really owned the offense. I can't think of possessions where I'm watching and I'm like, oh, wow, Pat Bev is like, he's really getting guys to their spots. He's dictating what needs to happen here. It seems like the playbook was just as lost on him as everyone else.
Yes, that I agree with that. Like, if the assists aren't there, the flow should be there.
And it should look like it. Because, I mean, assists are one very specific thing, right? Like, you're immediately passing to someone who's scoring.
Yes.
Which isn't...
That is a definition.
That's not the only... You know, like to me, that's not the only job of a point guard.
You watch Landry out there, and I'm not saying that Landry is a better point guard than Bev at all. But for the offense, Landry seemingly, it looked like it had a little more flow. But I think part of that also, too, is because we maybe expected too much from PG and Kawhi in terms of ball distribution.
So I think that was a huge takeaway from this entire season. You know, I was pretty disappointed with what PG was able to create off the dribble. And Kawhi, you know, like, I do feel as though he really rose to the challenge. It was just more.
He can only do so much, too. Like, you don't average, like, 9 assists? Like, he's not that guy.
Yeah, he can only do so much. And, I mean, that gets even harder when guys aren't knocking down open shots when he's being double-teamed. But for Pat, I just never saw...
Like, the efficiency was there. Like, 51-36 is great.
Yeah. He's great off ball, man. Yeah. Like, he's awesome.
And the floater was okay for the most part, but...
When he got to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, when he got to it, definitely. Didn't really see enough of it. But, yeah, I guess I'm expecting him to be the leader. You know, we don't know who this leader is for this team.
Yeah.
Someone on court. You know, I think, I, you know, obviously Kawhi's like the lead by example guy or whatever. Paul George is the defer guy. and I think all season we were looking at Pat Bev to be that guy, to be the locker room guy. And I think there were points when he was.
Yeah.
I think around the All-Star break, he was clearly very vocal in the locker room.
And the team looked great in that stretch before the season shut down.
And the team did look good. And I don't know if it is... You know, like missing so much of the training camp and then missing games with the injury and just not getting fully healthy, not feeling the confidence to be able to take those sort of reins.
Because the fouls, I think, are indicative of that. Like when you're fouling, like, because you expect, you know, when you're first coming back, like, yeah, there's going to be some early fouls. Makes sense. But it kind of just persisted and it never really went away.
Yeah.
And it was just like, shit, okay, I guess this is what we're getting tonight. We have to have weird truncated rotations.
And, like, if the offensive game isn't happening, I mean, he's supposed, you know, he's a...
Supposed to lock it down.
He's an all-defensive team guy.
Yeah.
And he was, like, jumping at pump fakes. Like, I don't know. I was not very impressed with his play on either side of the floor.
It was tough. But it's like little of column A, little of column B in terms of environment and whatnot. But, yeah, it was a tough go.
But if we're talking about a second-year player who isn't even a point guard... having a more positive effect on the offense than Pat Bev.
That's a rough go.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That's a rough go.
And I still think that, you know, he can get right. And I do think that he can be that facilitator. I do think that he can be that guy. It just wasn't there this postseason.
I agree. Man, tough go. We got some more positive stuff coming up in the rest of the episode.
And Pat, you know, we still love Pat. Like,
and we need him.
He's gonna bounce back.
We need his leadership more than I think we thought we did, too.
I thought overall, like, for the regular season, he was pretty good. Obviously, we'll talk about that later. But
absolutely. Coming up next, we're going to be just talking some Trez stuff. There's some little hot goss from Jovan Buha. From also, subscribe to The Athletic so you can support Jovan Buha. But first,
or
Will.
Steal your friend's password.
Yes. Will. Talk to me about online auto parts shopping.
Well, the thing is it can get a little seedy out there.
It's dicey. I've been getting my parts from 100%legitparts.gov, which seems a little weird.
It is a little weird. I've definitely gone through the depths of Craigslist.
I'm on the dark web usually.
Looking for various parts. But the thing is, you don't even have to go there. RockAuto.com is available. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years.
That's a long time.
They got everything you need, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet.
Need it.
Whether it's for your daily driver or a classic car, maybe you're looking to restore, they have everything you need. You can get it delivered directly to your door in a few easy clicks. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate.
Awesome.
Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers.
I'm both. So
it's very important to me.
Double better for me.
So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
RockAuto. Okay, welcome to Trez Contract Talking, as I'm calling this segment.
Is that a Street Talking reference?
No, but great song if you haven't heard it. Everyone kind of assumed before this postseason finished that Trez was going to be in around the, like, in terms of per year, what, like 15, 20?
I think, yeah, what we had cited on this podcast
13,
was
20?
Was probably 15 to 20.
Million.
Maximum. But, you know, we as a barometer for that, we kind of cited, like, the Sabonis deal.
Yeah.
And some other deals of technically, you know, six men centers who do play heavy roles in the offense during the regular season.
And he plays one of the heavier roles of the six-man center, of any center in the league. But now, per Jovan Buha, insiders are now putting him in the 8 to 12 million a year range.
Yes.
Which, this is a throwback to some older podcasts. I once pitched that we signed Trez to a $10 million a year lifetime contract. That's a great-looking deal right now still.
You think so?
$10 million a year? Yeah.
You would pay Trez $10 million a year for this postseason?
Not for this postseason, but for, you know, we need him for the regular season because we might end up paying him $10 million a year this year, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, it's just kind of in that same range. But 8 to 12, that's a steep drop, which sucks for Trez personally.
Yeah, just on a personal level.
Yeah.
So I guess if the value is gone down, you know, league-wide, that does put the Clippers in a better position if they are looking to keep the, you know, the core of this bench together
next
season.
Which it seems like they're probably going to. Like, all signs kind of point to that, I think.
Right. And the grimace that you've given, I do fully understand. And I guess I just want to pose the question out there, and this is for anybody, feel free to let us know. Are we overreacting to this postseason performance?
I think, so here's why I think we weren't.
Okay.
Because when you're watching that postseason, we saw the idea in our head that he was going to command 15 to 20 mil, right? So I think people kind of thought, I don't want to pay 15 to 20 mil for this.
Yeah.
So that amplifies your, like, rage.
Absolutely.
Because, like, well, we're not going to pay him this. Then everyone kind of assumes he's going to walk. But now, I mean, I'm overreacting. I don't think it's an overreaction because he's still playing like shit.
No, that's fair. You know what I mean? I'm not admonishing him of fault. I'm just simply posing the question. I mean, he was really solid for us in the regular season.
Yeah.
Is there value if you can secure him at the lower end of that, say eight a year,
keeping him
for the regular season?
If eight a year, if we're paying Zoo and Trez a combined $16 million a year, and we have this weird scenario where Trez plays the entire second half in the regular season, so Zoo, and hopefully Zoo, if that happens, I hope Zoo starts getting more minutes.
Yeah.
Because we talked about his conditioning, right? Like, if he's going to be playing 30 minutes in the playoffs, he should probably break that mark a few more times than, I don't know, four times in the regular season.
He's got to ramp up more in the regular season. So I guess you bring up the flip side of that is, even if we get him on that team-friendly contract and we can still look forward to this bench production in the regular season,
yeah,
what cost to Zoo is that coming? Because if Trez is still the guy, if Trez is still the guy that we're going to in closing lineups,
regular season, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even in the regular season, if we're not ramping up Zoo, like, I guess my question is the cost of that, and we already know that Doc is going to roll with his guys.
Yeah.
Is that cost still too high?
I think after this playoffs, I'm hoping we see Zoo in the closing lineups more. I think that's something that will happen. It's gone this weird thing where we skipped these steps where, like, Zoo got no time in the postseason last, you know, two postseasons ago, technically.
Not a lot of time in the regular season.
Not a lot of time in the regular season. And then relied on to close lineups in the playoffs. So, like, it's this weird, like, skipping steps thing.
Yeah.
So I think the way that maybe Doc operates is that now that Zoo's shown he can do it in the playoffs, he'll be allowed to do it in the regular season. Which I'm not saying is good logic, because you'd think one of those things would come before the others. No disrespect to Zoo.
You would think so, but
the process, this is what LA Clippers film talked about all year, was that there wasn't a good process.
I agree.
And yeah. I hope we can get a good process, but I still think it's worth it.
I think it's worth it.
I would go up to $20 million combined for Trez and Zoo, and I still think we're making out totally fine. Because you don't need a third center, right?
Absolutely not.
So, like, we're good. Like,
you know, I mean, you know my thoughts. I think if Harrell ends up walking, if we can't retain him, I don't think we should pick up another guy.
Shout out Alex Len. I think we should sign Alex Len. I don't really think that. But, I don't know. Do you think it's worth it?
I think if you're at the lower end of that range, I think that looks like a pretty damn team-friendly deal.
Even the 12 range.
He's still very young. The defense is not going to get much better. I'm gonna cop to that, man.
That made my chest cave.
He's 6'7" in shoes.
Yeah.
There's only so much he can do.
Yeah, and if Doc's gonna continue to put him in scenarios.
So that's the other thing too, right? Like, if we don't learn anything from this postseason and we're going we might not, and we're going back to the regular season and Trez is playing entire second halves and we're not getting Zoo out there, I don't know. That's a loss. A huge loss.
What about the keep Lou Will happy factor of this? I'm not saying there's like a weird rift or anything like that, but I would much rather have a happier to be here, Lou Will, than someone who is like, damn, they traded my good buddy away.
So my thing is, I think, and this is just me spitballing in my head here.
Oh, no.
I think that a Lou Williams, Jamichael Green pick and roll is more potent than a Trez and Lou pick and roll.
I haven't seen enough of the sample size.
It hasn't been there, but he sets better screens.
I think that. Yeah,
he,
no, that's
he
fair.
Sets better screens. He can, you know.
Well,
like,
Zoo getting more pick and roll time with Lou would be great, too.
Oh.
Because that would make maybe Lou a little more playable in the playoffs.
Anybody who has had time with Zoo in pick and roll scenarios seems to love him as a partner.
Yeah, Kawhi and him had fast chemistry.
He's a great screener, and he rolls hard to the basket, and his hands are getting better.
They really are.
His hands are getting better.
Yeah.
But I think that opens up an interesting thing if you throw Jamichael in the mix, because you know he can kind of like, you know, he can pop, he can roll to the rim, like there's different stuff that he can do.
Yeah, Trez's skill set is a little limited right now.
It's he's
got to be able to pass out of running headfirst into triple teams.
That's, yeah.
We need to stop giving him the ball in the low block for him to do bad crossovers in between the leg dribbles.
So that's another thing, too, is like, how much different is Trez looking as a player? How much different is Trez looking as a player, you know, if we had built, you know, like a better offense around him defensively, you know, like I said, he kind of is what he is.
Ceiling
it's not going to be so much, but you know, he was never benched for not passing out of terrible scenarios where he's you know, just
head down,
gallivanting into four defenders.
He's having a good time running into those defenders. You mean galloping? I feel like
gallivanting.
Okay.
It's showmanship.
I don't think it's that because it doesn't look good.
But it looks good in his head.
That's fair. So I think I'm even happy with the $12 million range. Like, I'm totally cool with that. Like, that's fine.
I think 12 is too much at this point. I think 12.
My thing is also, our owner's our owner. Pay the 12. No one else better is out there.
So just
realistically, right?
The thing that gets tricky though is like when you're over the tax, that limits what your mid-level exemption is. It gets harder to make, you know, it makes everything a little bit harder when you're already starting out over the tax.
Yeah, that's a fair call.
So yeah, I think I think I'd be willing to go to 10. 12 is maybe a bridge too far for me from what we've seen, this year. And even last season, Jamichael was the one who was inserted into the starting lineup at the 5.
That's true.
Jamichael needs more minutes.
Jamichael needs more minutes. That's fair.
Yeah. And if Jamichael's going to take less money, I would think it would be for a greater role on a hopeful championship team.
Oof, I don't know if he's going to take less money. We'll see what happens with that. Let us know what you think about your thoughts on this. Because 8 to 12, I'm kind of comfortable in any of that range. If we were to run it back, of course. No new pieces. I feel like, so here's the thing. No new pieces have to come if we're given that number. We got to retain literally everybody, or else I'm pretty bummed about it. Because I don't think inserting a new person who's going to have somehow a bigger role.
I like that caveat. Like, so you're saying you're comfortable with that range, assuming we secure Jamichael and we secure Morris.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that caveat.
Yeah, and maybe even Reggie. Coming up in Shavings, we got a whole mess of junk to talk about.
All right, so we're back. I guess the biggest news line is the 76ers search for a coach. Some names that are circling the drain are Ty Lue and Mike D'Antoni.
Those are the top two people, it seems like.
It seems like, yeah.
And it was said, Keith Smith, the god, said that if the 76ers hire Mike D, they'd be opening to trade talks since they have too many bigs that just don't fit his style of coaching. So my question is, why not just hire Ty Lue then? Why shake the team up a bunch? I mean, I know they suck, but like...
The team needs a shakeup. The roster construction is inherently flawed.
So maybe this is why we don't want Ty Lue to take this job. So if they take Ty Lue, like, they're going to keep everybody?
I don't know that they're going to keep everybody, but like, I think... And this is not... This is no discredit on Ty Lue's part. Like, I do think that D'Antoni is going to have a heavier pull with a front office in terms of making changes to a roster than perhaps Ty Lue would.
For a lot of reasons.
Whether correct or incorrect. Ty Lue has a chip. I was going to say. One has a chip, one doesn't, you know. But
yes. Also another glaring difference between the two of them.
But like one has just such a pronounced like sort of
style.
Offensive
You're
scheme
like, I need tiny
style.
People. Yes. I need football players. I don't mean this disrespectfully. He's like, I need a roster full of dudes who are built to play football. Who
can also I do think things. He would put Ben Simmons back to point, though, which is an intelligent move.
Yeah, Ben Simmons is a mess. I kind of hope Ty doesn't get this job. We've talked about that on this pod before.
It just doesn't seem like a situation that's set up for success.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Maybe they'll be able to turn around next year. I'm not seeing it.
And then we got a tweet from @ClipperMitch.
Okay.
Saying that a ticket rep mentioned to him that there would be a limited crowd allowed to watch games at Staples next year, which has not been really announced anywhere or talked about. You know what I mean? Like, this is a bit of a scoop from Clipper Mitch. Like,
yeah, so I'm not really...
I don't like it. I'll tell you one thing. This seems like a bad idea.
It's... Yeah, I guess, I mean, it seems a little optimistic on the part of the ticket salesman.
Wildly optimistic. And we don't know if this is a real thing or if this was a ticket rep trying to sell tickets,
which,
a 30% increase in season tickets. I have kind of heard through the grapevine that a couple people have canceled their season tickets, obviously. But like if the season starts in January and the fall and winter are going to be as bad as they say with COVID and just the regular flu and stuff.
Seems very optimistic.
This is lunacy.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's not open air. Like, football stadiums are open air. Like, this is...
I agree. And, I mean, I guess to their credit, they don't say at what time or at what capacity. You know what I mean?
50 people can watch Shoot Around.
Like, yeah, so, like, maybe it's just truly one of those things where there's, like, one person in each section.
Yeah, like, who gets... And, like, it's also, like, you're trying to sell season tickets. Who... If there's limited crowd space, what the hell are you... Like, how many people are buying
every season ticket
tickets?
Holder gets to go to one game per season.
They get one, yeah. It just seems like it's going to be a mess. Football stadiums have this inherently built-in excuse for having people that they're most of them are open air. Staples Center, not open air, not the best ventilation.
Also...
Horrible internet. Different
just
issue.
So many teams play there.
Yes.
Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, Lakers, Clippers.
Well, and the Kings even. Like, that's the thing. You're... I mean, you're essentially endangering the fans of three franchises.
And the players.
Potentially. Yeah, potentially.
We don't know what's going to happen in the next couple months. God, that's terrifying.
We don't know. But
something to keep an eye on, I think.
Something definitely to keep an eye on. And, you know, like, we still don't even have a confirmed date on when the season's going to start. Man, yeah. I got to say, right now, kudos if this tickets rep was just saying what he needed to say to get it done, because
man,
I cannot imagine a harder time to be a ticket rep than right now.
Remember how mad people were when the season tickets are going to be 30% higher, which is a fair thing to be upset about.
Oh, yeah.
Now they're 30% higher and there's a fucking pandemic.
And you may or may not go to any games.
Oof. Also, a couple ticket reps have tried to sell Will and I season tickets despite having media passes, which was like, I don't know.
Hey, I think we're giving you the wrong impression.
And also, most people with media passes, at least in my experience, can't afford season tickets. No disrespect. It's just how the game goes. A couple quick things. They got to bring back Lawler's Law over the PA system. That's an underrated thing that we didn't talk about enough with Lawler.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a dick move they took it away.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. It's an iconic piece of Clippersdom.
Well, and interestingly enough, I've been listening to like other teams' broadcasters during the regular season, and they will reference it.
Yeah, that's the
thing.
By name. It's a league thing.
Yeah.
It's not going to go away. So like now we're in this weird world where like everyone but the Clippers do it.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here.
Let's
yeah.
That.
Yeah. If there was any sort of actual, I don't even know what, action on not saying Lawler's Law, I think that's pretty silly.
Yeah, like there was like a big, there's like a document and then like there was a big stamp that was like rejected.
Exactly.
Like
that's Lawler's what's happening Law. In my head.
Yeah. And then lastly, we hope the media team for the Clippers doesn't lose too many people. The digital media team for the Clippers is one of the best content creation teams in sports.
I agree. They absolutely killed it this year.
And we're not talking like funny, like we're not talking like, oh, they run a funny Twitter, because I feel like people sometimes think that's lumped in. Like the content they make is amazing.
The
While We Were Gone video.
Yeah,
like,
the quality of the content is absolutely second to none. It's
amazing.
It was so good all
Under
year.
Roberts. Shout out Under Robertson.
Yeah.
Shout out Charlie Widows.
Yeah, shout out Charlie Widows. Shout out Kurt Wears Hats. I don't know your real name.
Yeah.
But shout out to all the people on the Clippers media team.
Alexandra, you know, pasta is al dente.
Yeah. They really got it done this year, and it was, as a fan, just one of the funnest things to watch, you know? It's like we always talk about this, like how we're like a small market team.
Yeah.
And it felt good to have the big market
media
presence. Yeah.
I will say this. Clippers official Twitter needs a little more humor to it. Not a lot. I'm not saying go full Kings and Suns with your deep fried memes and stuff. It's devoid of humor.
I mean, they run a tight ship.
But they could use a little humor.
I think next year we should come at it maybe with a little bit more humor and humility.
It was a little serious this year.
Hey, it was a big year.
It was. And then all the wheels fell off. Anything else in shavings? We went through a bunch of stuff.
No, I think
including
that about
a cut
does
joke.
It. We're going to be coming back at you guys on Friday with a postseason grade for the bench, starting with Lou Will.
Oof.
Getting
my red marker ready for that one.
Oof. I don't think that's necessary. Anyways, we'll have a Love Mary quarantine for you, and then, I don't know, any other news?
Let's hope there's not too much news. You can find us on Spotify, Deezer, the Apple Podcasts conglomerate app, I believe is the new name.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, give us a review if you want. We would really appreciate it. It would help cancel out the reviews from Lakers fans who gave us 1 star, which, come on, man.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Get a life.
Figure it out. Like, focus on your team. But yeah, thanks for rocking with us. We're going to be back, you know, with the Friday episode. And again, this is 5 days a week. Welcome to all the new listeners, old listeners. Thanks for hanging. Tell your friends, maybe.
Yeah.
Make that clip flip. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. You know what? We appreciate you.